say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Jeremiah chapter number 23. This is a great text. The book of Jeremiah, to a great degree, mirrors what's going on in our present day. And we're probably somewhere between Isaiah and Jeremiah. There was about 100 years after Isaiah, Jeremiah comes on the scene. And he becomes the last prophet before the destruction of the nation of Israel. For sure, we're in Isaiah's day. We hope that for our country that we're not exactly in Jeremiah's day, because before Jeremiah passed away, Babylon had come in and had taken over their country. And so Jeremiah was, you know, like last line of the prophets to try to get God's people turned back around. And so we pick up on some patterns of things that are going to be consistent with our day and what we would expect in our day if we were in the same relative comparison. What I mean by that is, what we know about history is that history does what? It repeats itself, right? And so what we know about the Bible is that you see this, because God does not change, you see the similar pattern in countries and in nations, that when they live for God and then they get the blessings of God and God pours out his blessings, and then when he blesses them, they forget who the blessings came from and they start thinking they got it themselves, and then they turn away from God and they start serving other gods, and then God sends his preachers in and prophets to say, we got to turn back, you got to turn back, and then when they don't or they won't, then there comes this point where God goes, all right, enough is enough, and then he brings judgment upon that country, and it's a bad day for them. And we see this kind of pattern over and over consistently, and the story of the book of Judges, that is the story of the book of Judges. And so America, the unfortunate thing is because of our sin, we're running in the same kind of cycle also and heading the same direction. So chapter 23, one of the things we notice from this chapter is the general laxness or carelessness on the behalf of the pastors of the day to really sincerely care about God's people. There has become a transition to where the pastors of the people no longer care about the people because they care about the people, but they care about the people from what they can get from them. And so if and when it comes to that day in our country, we would expect the same thing among the pastors of the people in our country, that there would be this general self-centeredness. Verse number one, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Woe, like look out. Woe to the pastors that destroy and that scatter God's people. Now, what that means exactly and what that looks like is going to be throughout the rest of the chapter. But verse number two, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. So you ran God's people off and you didn't go try to get them back. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. So this is what God says he's going to do. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up David unto David a righteous branch, capital B branch, that's the Christ, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. and you start getting all caps, you know for sure you're talking about God there, right? And that righteous branch is Jesus Christ. He's a king. He is the king. And so he's already come. But this is prophetic, speaking prior to the dispersion. But now we're on the backside, so hindsight is 20:20, verse number 7. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord lives, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But what they'll say is, the Lord lives, which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now that is where we are. What it used to be, what God was known as, the God that brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. But now, after the dispersion, the scattering, the judgment, and the dispersion of God's people all over the earth, and then God's going to bring them back, now we are on this side, on past, and in the days where we don't say the Lord that brought him up out of Egypt, although he did, but we say the God that brought him out of Africa, the God that brought him out of Russia, the God that brought his people back, and they reestablished the nation of Israel, and the Jews, even right now, the Jews in France are under persecution, and they are being treated poorly, and there is a big press on for the Jews that are in France to go back to their homeland, back to Israel, and to live. To occupy because of the anti-Semitism that's going on there in the country of France. And so all this was said prior to. Now what we know is we look at it and we go, well, that's exactly where we are. Where are we at? Well, we're the people that said, hey, the God that back starting in the late 60s and in the 70s and 80s and 90s and even in the 2000s that had the God that brought his people back into the land. So what we know about prophecy is that it is going to come true. It is accurate. Every word, every jot, every tittle, every exclamation point, period, everything is right. And so we're just witnesses of these things. Verse number 9. But he says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Because of the prophets, what's wrong with them? All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. Is that true of our country today? And because of swearing, the land mourns. Swearing can be profanity. And we have a lot of that going on. Swearing can also mean to promise or to vow about things, but you do it falsely. And people lie through their teeth. I promise I'll tell the truth, the whole truth. I promise I'll pay this back. I promise I'll do this. And there was lots of swearing in the land, and the land mourned. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. Their course is evil. Their force is not right. Verse 11. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. It's a bad day. When the preachers... In general, the characteristic of the preachers in general, the prophets, the priests, are they're profane too. I mean, if the men of God are not holy. So the prophet and the priest, they're profane. In my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. The way they operate, what they're about, how they treat people, their failure to declare the word of God. Lots of problems. Verse number 12. While their way shall be unto them as slippery ways, in the darkness they shall be driven on and fall therein. So they're going to continue in this thing and they're going to fall in their sin. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. God's like, I've got a time set that this is going to come to an end. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. So not only the prophets of Israel, but the prophets in Samaria prophesied in Baal. Like, here's what God told me, but really what they were saying is what a false God had told them. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, and they caused my people, Israel, to err. They caused them to do wrong. See, when there's wrong preaching, people do wrong because they think wrong. People think wrong because they're taught wrong. When people are taught wrong, it leads them into error. I know the words of God are hard sometimes, and sometimes they're difficult, but they are right. And but when we come into a day where the preachers are preaching not God's word, they got to be preaching something. What are they preaching? And when they're causing God's people to err. Verse number 14. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and they walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers that none does return from his wickedness. That's the prophets. Prophets who are adulterers, prophets who walk in lies, prophets who strengthen also the hands of evildoers that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood. That's a term for a poison, and make them drink the water of gall. For the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into how much of the land? All the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken unto me the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They said they make you of no value. They speak in a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walks after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now watch, the message from Jeremiah and even previously from Isaiah is judgment's coming or is going to come. But then what these other prophets had done is they're like, ah, you're fine. You're fine. Nothing bad's going to happen to you for how you're living your life or the lifestyle that you've chosen or for the things that you're choosing to do. You are fine. Verse number 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, and who hath perceived and heard his word? Who has marked the word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, and yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now mark this down. Here's consistent pattern. If men are preaching the true word of God, the end result of that is, if there is a real word from God, is that people will turn from their evil works or from their ungodliness. If there is preaching going on and nobody's turning away from their ungodliness, then what in the world are those preachers preaching? Amen. See, because there's just something about the word of the Lord. There's something about the word of the Lord when it gets in and it has an effect. And when you really are declaring the truth, when Sunday school teachers are diligently doing what God's called them to do, when our junior church workers are doing what God's called them to do, young people are turning away from wickedness and they're turning to live a right life. This is consistent pattern. But when people are representing God that don't really represent God, when people say God said this, but God really didn't say it, then you have a mess. This is a mess. It's not that religion is going to go away in our country. There will always be some form of religion. The question is the message they're preaching from God or not from God? Verse 23, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? You think God is watching us from a distance? I think that Bette Midler song is right, that even has been sung in a few churches across our country, that God's watching us from a distance. God's like, I'm not a God of afar. I'm a God at hand. I know what's going on. Verse number 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Question. Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Now, let me just say this very quickly. I remember a few weeks ago, one of the things that I was irritated by, even though I recognize that in our culture today it's true, is that people will give to vision even when they won't give to a need. And we're in a day where sales pitches reign supreme. Even in our churches, we're in a day where the preachers are pressed to do some kind of a sales pitch to get people on board. And I just don't think that we need to do that. I don't think I need to sit and come up with some vision out of my own head and out of my own mind as to what God wants us to do. We have the Word of God. We already know what God wants us to do. What's God want us to do? He wants us to get saved. He wants us to be discipled. And He wants us to win other people to Him. He wants us to get baptized. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to come into a community and be salt and light. We don't have to come up with anything other than that. If we have to come up with something else other than that, then who are we getting it from? Because I think God knew what He was doing when He gave us His Word. And so a church doing what God wants them to do, all they have to do is open up the Word of God. But when we have to come to a day to where we say, I dreamed this, and I had a vision about this thing, and here's what my dream said, and I saw this picture on this side of this building, and this angel named Moroni came to me and told me this stuff. And when people are coming in with all their dreams and ideas, and I'm not saying that God doesn't possibly even still work through a dream from time to time, but what I'm saying is we don't need people's dreams driving what we do as born-again believers. We have the Word of God. You can have your dream. I've got the B-I-B-L-E. And when we die and we stand before the Lord, you'll see how your dreams went, and I'll see how the Word of God went, and then we'll go from there. We're the Word of God people. That's what we are. Can God warn us from time to time in a dream? Maybe He can. But listen, anytime that a dream conflicts with the Word of God, we are going with the Word of God. Right on? Right. Verse number 25, I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Amen. What is the chaff to the wheat? Now, that what a question. What is the chaff to the wheat? Well, it only displays the greatness of the wheat. What is the chaff? We know in the New Testament that Jesus said that one day He's going to harvest His field, and the chaff goes in, and the wheat goes in the garner, and God separates it out. And the chaff to be burned, and the wheat is reserved for God. And what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Now verse 29, and this is what I love about the Word of God. Is not my word like as a fire? Please stop for a second, because all we have to do is just let the Word of God out. And we get the Word of God out there, it can do what it needs to do. We don't have to help it. We don't have to try to manufacture anything for it. We don't have to apologize for it. You let the Word of God out, it's like a tiger. It knows what to do when it's let out. The problem is that we keep it bottled up sometimes so tightly and telling a bunch of stories and a bunch of things that come out of our own head instead of opening it up and saying what God has to say. And when God's Word is opened up and when it is declared, it's like a fire, saith the Lord. And it is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. It's a fire. It's like a fire. It's like a hammer. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. They steal his words. What does that mean? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He, or God, says. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err or to do wrong, to err by their lies and their lightness. And yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. What's the benefit of the preachers of our day? There was a day when being a pastor was, if it wasn't the most respected position, it was close. And I rest assured that if you look at trusted professions in our country, that pastor of a church is not near the top anymore. People don't trust them. Why? Because they've seen so much lying and scandals. They've seen so much betrayal. They've heard so much nonsense. And you go to a lot of our churches anymore in our day, and where is the Word of God? And a guy tells a story, and he gets up there and he tells a neat story about something that happened in his life, and that's all great if the story has some application to apply the Word of God. But what in the world are we doing when we just come to church and we just tell a bunch of stories about things that happened in our life? Here's what we're doing. We're wasting people's time. And God said, I'm going to deal with that. I'm against it. I'm going to deal with it. I'll deal with those people. But the problem is that that type of preaching does not benefit the people of God at all. Verse 33. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? God said to Jeremiah, he said, thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? When this people, or this prophet, or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? And you say to them, what burden? God told Jeremiah, I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. One of the characteristics of a country, a people that's turned away from God, is they want to use God's words and twist them around and play games with them. The burden, this burden of the Lord, is something that breaks God's heart. It's something that God sees about how things are going and how they're going and what's going to happen if people continue, and what God has planned to do in the future if they continue on this pattern. When God's got a serious issue with a country or a people, and when that becomes a joke to the people, then Jeremiah 23. But he told Jeremiah, when the people or this prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? And when you say, what burden? Maybe we put it like this in our country. When the people of the land say, of America say, well, what could God possibly be upset and burdened about with America? And you go, what will God be upset about? What burden? God's like, then I'm going to be after you. Because there is a burden. There is a burden. Our country's filled with lies and manipulation and adultery and fornication and shedding of innocent blood. There is a burden that the Lord has for America. And I don't pretend like I'm some new prophet with some new word of God. I don't need new word of God. I've got the old written word of God. But I'm telling you, God is burdened about our country. And if you ask me, what could God possibly be upset with us about? I'll probably give you the list. And there are so many, I'm likely to possibly miss a few. You have a dream? I got this. Amen. I leave you with a simple thought. What is the last thing, material possession, that I want to lose? And I would say it's this. Yeah. This Bible. Amen. It's precious to me. I dread the day when you can't hardly find one anymore. I dread the day in America when the Word of God has been so transliterated, paraphrased, when we've been so watered down in our country with uniting for the cause of unity rather than uniting for the cause of truth, that you can't hardly find a preacher that stands up and declares the Word of God anymore. And it is coming. What do you mean it's coming? Look at this before you go. Isaiah 57, verse number 1. Just look. About 100 years before Jeremiah, this is the word. The righteous chapter 57, verse 1, the righteous perishes, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil. One of these days we're going to wake up and we're going to go, where did all the righteous people go? And as they're being taken away, and none considering that God's taken them away to preserve them from the evil that is to come.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in all of what you do. You do, you do, you do. What have I done to deserve your son? Sent to die for me. What can I give? I want to live. Things I do. You say I belong to you. I'm in awe. Why you do? Why you do? You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do. You say I belong to you.
He looked into that cup. He saw the sin of a wicked world, and he knew what had to be done. So he laid down his life for you and me, and the blood flowed from Calvary. And today that same blood